Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Metzia Daf Pei Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins six lines from the top of Daf Pei Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the margin where we have one of the special features of the marked Gemara, the Shas Ozer, the Nosei / Mivneh heading. In this case, we combine the Nosei, the topic heading, with the Mivneh, the structural note, where a diamond appears, one of our series markings, and we have written Sidra, a series. Shel, Dalet Braisos, four Tanaic sources, She Poishos BeDayish, that open their discussion with the word Dayish, which is a word based on the pasuk loisachsam shor b'disho, the prohibition of threshing grains with a muzzled ox. She melamdos, these sources teach us halachos akshuros lachilas poyalim, laws that are related to the rules concerning the workers' rights to eating, based on that which they are working on, as we've been explaining in our recent shiurim. A crown shape will appear. You'll notice a couple of them. Lomali, highlighting the words Lomali. Hasimun miyad, this marking is designed, lahavlit, the shnei brises harishonos, that the two first Tanaic sources in this series were brought for the same matara, the same goal. V'hainu l'sho'el lomali hapsukim shemuvoim babraisa, why do I need to cite verses that are referred to in the Tanaic sources? Bizman she'cholti lumid oisam halachas mipsukim achirim, when I could have derived these points of law from other verses. Of course, this will become much clearer as we get into the actual text. So now, let us do that. Six lines from the top, Tonu Rabbonan. Dayish. The word Dayish, as we said, from the Pasuk, Loi Sachsom Shor B'disho. Ma Dayish Miyuchad Dovor She Gidulei Karka. Just like Dayish, namely the threshing of grains. Grains are that which grow from the ground. Upoyel Eichel Bo, and the worker is entitled to eat from them. Af kol shegidulei karka poyel eichel bo. So too, other things, any other thing that grows from the ground, that is the type of item a worker potentially is able to eat from. To the exclusion, yotza hachele v'mechabetz v'megabein, three procedures that are related to the realm of dairy products. Cholev is milking. Mechabetz and megabein are aspects of cheese making. She'ein gidulei karka, they do not grow forth from the ground. You're dealing with milk. V'ein poil oichel bo, a worker hired for milking or for the making of cheese, he is not entitled to eat from that. So now, this law then, the exclusion of a worker eating from cheese products that he is working on, is derived from the word dayish. So the Gemara asks, lomali, what do I need to the word dayish, or the base our law on that pasuk? There's another pasuk, mechi savoy bekerem reacha nafka. This pasuk is the source for workers being entitled to eat from that which grows from the ground, where the pasuk says, when he enters a vineyard. The vineyard is representative of that which grows from the ground. That's gidulei karka. So from that we know that gidulei karka is what a worker is entitled to eat from, and not from milk or dairy products that he's working on. So we learn that point, the exclusion of cholev mechabetz and megabin from mechisa v'bekamriacha. What do I need dayish for? Answer: itzdrich. I need dayish from the pasuk of loisachson shor b'disho. Salko daitoch amina. Without it, I would have thought hayol uksiv koma l'rabbis kol bale koma. Since we have seen this drosha in the past, the word koma appears in this context. And we would learn, koma means that which is standing. And I would have thought to include all things that are standing. So from the koma word, I would have thought to include even things that are not that which grows from the ground. Komash molon, hence I need the Daesh pasuk to exclude. I should point out that the koma word, which was the havamina, which was the reason for thinking that maybe we'll include cholev based on the idea of kol bale koma, that koma is from the next pasuk after the ki sovo bekerem reacha pasuk, which was pasuk chof hey. This word is found in pasuk chof vov, where the pasuk says ki sovo bekomas reecha. You can see these psukim quoted on pei ches amid beis in our Gemara margin. We continue. Tanya idach dayish ma dayish miyucha davar shebeshas gemar melacha poel oichal bo. Just like dayish, the threshing is a point in which we refer to it as gemar melacha. It's a type of final stage in the processing of the grains. And as such, the poel, the worker, is entitled to eat from it. Af kol shehu b'shas gemar molocha poel oichal bo. So too, when it comes to other products during their final stage of production, the worker is entitled to eat from it. There's a Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. Shebeshas gemar molocha de achshav hu gomer malachta. With the threshing, he's now finishing the processing. Umasnisin la'achar gemar malacha komar. The Mishnah speaks about after gemar malacha de ein oichlin, where workers are not entitled to eat during their work on products that have already experienced gemar malacha kon. An example of that is nisparsu igulin. Igulin are figs that are pressed together into we'll call it cake form. If those figs got dispersed and now you're gathering them together again to repress them into a cake form, that is not something a worker would be entitled to eat from. So we learn from Daesh that during the final stage of production, of, we'll say, of producing the of grain production, a worker is entitled to eat from it, yotza, to the exclusion of other procedures that are not gemar malacha. Hamenachesh b'shumin uvibsalim. Rashi explains menachesh ka salka daitoch. The thinking right now is sha'iker mi b'neim she'enon yofos, that he is uprooting from amongst the shumim and betzolim, the garlic and onions that are growing. He is uprooting those that are not developing nicely from amongst them to reduce the, we'll say, the density of growth. During that process, we say a worker is not entitled to eat from them. Hayul v'ein gemar molocha, since it's not a final stage in their production, ein poyol oichel bohem, a worker is not entitled to eat from them. The Gemara asks, lomali, what do I need dayish for in order to reach that conclusion? From, we have another source for that. Mi ve'el kel yichol lo sitein nafka. This is, once again, a quote from Pasuk Chof Hei that we referred to before. The Pasuk says that when the worker is eating from the products he's working on, he shall not put the vegetation into his own vessels and take home. But we see from that you're dealing with worker entitlement to eat when he is dealing with Shas Gemar Malacha. So the question once again is, if I can learn from V'el Keli Cholositein, what do I need Daish for? Lo, Tzricha, no, it is necessary to have the additional source of Daish. Afalgav de Komashlif Ketini Mibeni Alimi. Rashi explains, the Komashlif Ketini, Ketini means small ones. Yesh Bivitzolim, there are amongst the botzol vegetable, which is often translated as onions, she mistarsin v'lo yugasim l'olam. They are a type of growth that will never grow into a mature, complete vegetable. V'kayr noisa b'laz tzibish. And in French, the word tzibish is the description of that. V'oikun oisan mibein hagdoilim. And one will uproot them from amongst others that are developing into full-sized onions. Laharchiv mokaim ulispashet, in order to reduce the density, and they should the nice ones, the full ones, should grow and spread. Diika hashta, during that activity, nesino lekelov shabalabayas, you have what the Pusuk referred to, the El Keli Cholositein, implied that, namely, into your vessels you're not to put, but into the owner's vessels you are to put. So you have, in this case, the Nesina L'Kelev Shebalabayas, V'lo Mimayet, and I would not exclude the worker eating from these bitzolim that will remain small permanently. I will not exclude from El Kelyucha mi ve'El Kelyucha lo sitain. That had I had just El Kelyucha lo sitain, I would have thought that in this case, eating from these small bitzolim, the worker would be entitled to eat just as long as he doesn't put it into his own vessels. So, is that so though? Can a worker in fact eat from these? No. Umimailu mi daish. I learn from Daish to exclude these permanently small ones that a worker is not entitled to eat from them. Why? The lav shas gemar malochahu. It's not a final stage in their production. The ikur pu'ula, the main purpose of this activity, mishum tikun gdeilim u, shem chuborim v'yondim. It's for the benefit of the large onions that are still attached to the ground and growing. So you're dealing with an activity that is not connected to Gemar Malacha. So, if you're asked, what do I need Daish for, even though I have El Keli Cholositein, the answer is, a worker is not entitled to eat from these permanently small onions that he is pulling out from amongst the large onions that are in their development stage. Tanya Idoch. Daish, ma daish miyuchad davar shelo nigmar malachto lemeiser poyel echabo. Just like threshing of grains is an example of an activity of something that, even though we referred to it before as gemar malacha, but it's not a final stage in production that renders it obligated to be tithed. The necessary stage of production, of development for tithing, is later than the Gemar Malacha that we referred to earlier. So we know that just like in threshing of grains, it's a stage in their production that still is earlier than the tithing obligation, and we know a worker is entitled to eat from that at that point. Af kol shelo nigmar malachto lemeiser poyel oichel bel, so too any other production stage that has not yet reached the tithing obligation, a worker is entitled to eat from it. So there you have the concept of gemar malacha in almost a contradictory fashion in terms of workers' rights to eat from it. So in order, as we said before, in order for a worker to be entitled to eat from the production, from the vegetation that he's working on, it would have had to reach a final stage of production. But It's not a final stage in the ultimate final product that would render it chayav, obligated in tithing. So with this, at this point then, when you're after the previous mentioned gemar malacha, but you're still pre-meiser obligation, a worker is yes allowed to eat from it, yotza, to the exclusion of haboidel b'tamarim uvegrogrois. Rashi explains how, a few lines up from here in the Rashi, haboidel b'tamarim uvegrogrois she medubokais zu vezu mavdilon b'magrefa. You're dealing with dates and figs that are stuck together, and you're using a magrefa, it's a name of a utensil, to separate one from the other. And, if a worker is hired to be boidel b'tamarim uvegrogrois, to separate these figs and dates that are stuck together, a worker would not be entitled to eat from them. Hayu v'nigmara malachtoi l'maiser ein poyel oichel bo. Since the dates and figs that have reached that stage or that or need that separation, they've already become obligated in tithing. So since it's reached, they have reached a stage where you would have had to tithe from them, a worker is not entitled to eat from them. Question: Vahatanya, but have we not learned habayvil b'tamarim b'vegrogrois poyel oichelbo? During that very same activity, we see that a worker is entitled to eat from them. So this would seem to contradict that which we just said before. Omar Rav Popa, kitanyo hahi b'tochalni. When we speak about the worker being entitled to eat during boldel b'tamarim, you're talking about tochalni. So you'll ask, what's tochalni? So we look in the Rashi. B'tochalni, tamarim roim. Bad quality dates. She'em is bashlim b'ilon. They do not ripen on the tree. U'machnisan l'kiyum. And they're these tamarim roim, these poor quality dates are gathered in for kium for a long time. Bekli shel kapois tamarim, and they're put in a vessel that's made of palm leaves. Ushman, the name of those vessels are chosolois. And what benefit does the owner have in doing that? Umishamamois, umisbashlus. They heat up and they eventually ripen. The kodem shenisbashlu ka'omar, and before they became ripened, the source said, a worker who's involved with the bodel process, separating one from the other, if he's dealing with these tochalni, this situation, he can eat from it. They have not become ready for tithing. They haven't reached the tithing stage. So in that, we'll say, limited case, the worker is entitled to eat from them. Tanya Idach. We continue in the Gemara with the fourth source. Dayish. Ma Dayish Miucha Dover Shalom Nigmara Malachto L'Chalo Poyol Echabay. Chalo is a grain, is a tithe from flour and from, I should say, from dough. You'll notice we didn't explain before, but we have this bow tie shape, and on the side, in our margin, we have a note, which refers to the Mivne note. A bow tie is featured. The words Meiser and Chalo, you can see, are highlighted. Brises 3 and 4, misaskois im heter achilas poel, with the heter, the permission given to a worker, b'tnai shlo yigia maichol l'gmar malachta l'maiser and l'chala, provided that that which he's working on has not reached the stage in which he would have to tithe, either the maiser tithe or the dough tithe, l'chala tithe. So just like threshing of grains is something that hasn't reached the stage of separating challah and upoil echobo, we're continuing in our Gemara, af kol dover shelo nigmar malachto lechala poil echobo. So to any other situation that the worker is working on something, he is entitled to eat from it, provided it has not reached the challah separation or tithing stage. Yotza, to the exclusion of someone who's hired to work as Halosh, Hamakatef, Oife, Losh is the one who's hired to knead the dough. We have to just add a detail over here. When we speak about kneading at this point, it's kneading after the water was added to the flour and a little mixing had taken place, at that point you have to separate the challah. What here we're referring to someone who is lush, he is kneading it after the initial mixing of flour and water has taken place. We look at Rashi, halosh mishenosan amayim v'gilgel nischayav b'challah. Once the water has been added to the flour and he mixed it a bit, it becomes obligated in tithing. V'adayin tzricha lalush v'lashuf v'levod harbei. Even so, even though you've added the water to the flour and mixed it a little bit, it still needs additional extensive kneading and other dough mixing procedures, which we refer to as loshuf and livot. So if one is hired to continue the kneading of the dough in an extensive fashion, he is not entitled to eat from the dough as a worker. And also mekatef, the Rashi explains orich v'toch panea. It's one who shapes the loaves and smooths them out. Sometimes smears something on the loaves to smooth them out. That's mekatef. And oifa is one who puts the dough into the oven for baking. People who are hired for these things do not eat from their products. Why? Shenigma melachto lechalo the ein poil oichabo. At the stage of losh mekatef and oifa, the flour has already reached its challah stage, and hence the worker does not eat from it. Why? Because it's not similar to da'ish. Da'ish is something that hasn't reached the challah obligation stage. The Gemara asks, even though it hasn't reached the challah stage, v'alo nigmara, let me say, why focus on the worker prohibition based on its having reached the challah stage? The worker's exclusion or limitation set in even before that. Falo nigmara malachto lemeiser. It's already reached the meiser obligation stage. Rashi, there's a double star that we have in our Rashi. You can see it more easily a few lines up from here. The tapeugle mishul meiser falo nigmara malachto lemeiser utchino v'harkoda demekami lisha nami lo achil. Even before the kneading stage, the worker would not be entitled to eat from it. Once you are involved with the grinding of the threshed grains or the sifting of them, that those are stages in which a person would have had to separate the meiser tithe already, even before it reaches the stage in which the challah obligation sets in. So why is there a focus in this Tanaic source on the worker exclusion based on the challah stage of production? Lo kashya, there's no difficulty in identifying these two stages as worker prohibition. Why? Bechutzo la'artzaskin on deleka meiser. The source that features on it having reached the challah stage, at which point the worker stops eating, is dealing with chutzlah. It's outside of the land of Israel where there isn't a meiser tithe to begin with. So you can't apply the meiser tithe to a place that it simply doesn't exist. The Gemara asks, well, ihachi, if you're talking about chutzlah la'aretz, outside the land of Israel, challah nami leko, there isn't the dough tithe either. Ela li'olam ba'aretz. No, the source is speaking about within Israel, and yet velo kashya, still there isn't any difficulty. Meaning, why do you emphasize challah when the worker prohibition was already instituted at an earlier stage, I mean the meiser stage? B'sheva shekivshu b'sheva shechuku. We're dealing with a historical ruling, meaning a ruling that is its manifestation is only if you look back in history. During the 7 years of conquest and an additional 7 years of division of the land of Israel, during the time of Yoshua that led the people into the land after Moshe Rabbeinu's departure. The Yomar Mar, it has been taught, Sheva Shekivshu V'Sheva Shechuku, during the 7 years of conquest and additional 7 years of dividing the land. The Jewish people were obligated in the Tchala tithe and not yet obligated during those 14 years. They were not obligated to tithe the Meiser tithe. The Gemara asks, Midi Meiser Kogorim? The exclusion of the worker, is it because of that particular tithe that needs to be separated? Gemar Melacha Kogorim. It's the fact that it has reached a particular stage in production that is the garment, that is the cause. So it's not accurate to say that the Meiser tithe per se is the cause, but rather it's because it's reached a certain stage of production that we'll say in theory, if there was a Meiser obligation, you would have to tithe the Meiser. But it's not the Meiser per se, but it's an objective level of production of the product that excludes the worker from eating. So even if you're dealing with those 7 years of kibush and 7 years of chiluk, you don't exclude the worker based on challah because there isn't any miser to speak of. There still is that stage of production that would have obligated in miser had miser been binding. Ela Oma Ravina Kroich Utni. Kroch utni essentially means take the two sources mentioned above where you noticed the bow ties and read them together as one source as follows. Daish ma daish miyucha davar shalo nigmar amalachto lemaiser ulechala. Notice the two words before that were in bow ties are presented together in the same source. Just like threshing has as its characteristic something that hasn't reached a final stage with regard to the requirement of tithing, the Meiser tithe or the Challah tithe, upoyel eichobo, a worker is entitled to eat from it. Af kol shelo nigmaro malachto lemaisu lechallah poyel eichobo. So to anything else that hasn't reached its requirement in Meiser, if that happens to be the final type of tithe with regard to that product, or if it's a product that has a later stage where you would have to separate challah, so a product that hasn't reached a challah stage, even though it has reached a Meiser stage, Poyel Echobo, a worker is entitled to eat from it. Let us learn the Rashi and for, let's say, further elucidation on what are we describing when we speak about something that has a Meiser tithe and a Challah tithe that are associated, and if it's a product like that, the worker would be entitled to eat from that which he's working on up till the point that the latter tithe would be obligatory. So we Rashi Omar Ravina Krochu Tani Hanach Tarti Masnisin Diliel, the two Tanaic sources above that we highlighted with the diamond with the bow tie marking. Lo Tisninhu Chado Chado, do not teach them separately, as we saw above, lemisni v'kamaisa, and have as the text of the first one, ma daish miucha dover shelo nigmar malachto lemaiser. The imkain, if you would leave the source with meiser alone taught, I would come to an erroneous conclusion. The imkain shma mina, I would then conclude ha nigmar lemaiser lo achil. If the product he's working on reached the Meiser stage, a worker is forbidden to eat from it. Ah, the Vagashia Bas Raisa. The second source then presents a difficulty, namely, where the worker is entitled to eat up till the Challah stage, the dough stage, which is a stage after it became obligated in the Meiser tithing. Ela Kroichutni Chada. Rather, take the two sources and read them as one, as we've done already. And what would the result be? Ma dayesh miuchot shel nigmar malachtoi lemaiser ulechala. Shehein dvarim hanoagin bo. These tithes are something that are that's observed with regard to these products. Af kol shelo nigmar malachto ledover hanohug bo. Likewise, anything else that hasn't reached the stage of tithing for that which is relevant to it. Im lemaiser lechudei lemaiser. If it's a type of product that doesn't have a dough stage to it, then once it reaches the meiser stage of tithing, the worker would have to desist from eating. Im lechala, if it's a kind of product that is processed into dough, lechala, to the exclusion, yotza, to the exclusion, ha-boidu b'tmorim, denigmar lemeiser, ve'ein b'mdover mu'uchar mimenu. Separation of figs that we discussed earlier that had become separated from one another after having been stuck together, that's something that reached its miser stage, and it doesn't have any further tithing. It doesn't have a later tithe, namely a dough tithe. V'yotza halosh, and will also exclude titling a worker to eat from that which he is needing, shenigmara malachto lemuchar shebo. It has reached its latter stage, the later tithe, the dough tithe. But prior to Losh, the worker would be entitled to eat from it. Likewise, Tosfos explains, Omar Ravina, we're going to learn the Tosfos together. Omar Ravina, Kroch Utni, Dahashta Dekotoni Bechada. Now that it's in one source, Lemaiser Ulechala, Muchach Shapir, it shows clearly, Delo Nokat Lemaiser Elalafuke. The choice of the word meiser, the use of the word meiser, is only to exclude hecho de lo shayech chala, only with regard to things that the chala tithe has no relevance, kagon beidol b'tmorim, like separation of dates, where there is no dough stage. Avol hecho de shayech chala, however, where you're dealing with a product that chala has relevance, lo chashiv gemar, the concept of gemar, of reaching a final stage, is of no relevance unless you're dealing with gemar, the final stage with regard lechala. Avol kihave bechada brisa lemaiser lechudei. However, if we would leave things as they were earlier, that in one brisa you have a reference to meiser alone, have mashma that would have created the impression that bechol mokim azlin and boser gemar malacha lemeiser. I would have thought that the only standard by which we establish the stoppage of worker eating is the meiser standard. Now we go back to our Gemara. And you might notice that we have a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. So if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice the appearance of a trapezoid, or as we fondly refer to it, a volcano shape. And you'll notice that not only here, but if you go flip over or scroll down to Amud Beis, the same shape appears, but in an inverted direction. So on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei slash Mivneh heading, the volcano is presented in two different directions, highlighting the expression Toshma. Havuas Mekoros, what we're going to do is bring sources, Lishnei Kivunim, in, we'll say, in two different directions, Kidei Lishon Hashila, in order to conclude the question, Poyal Mao She Yehavhev Es Melilos Be'ur, can a worker who's working on grains, can he roast them in a fire? Kedei lemaskin, this will sweeten them, v'yochal, and eat from them. Now, as a result of that, let's just point out that if the worker is working on the grains during the threshing, where it's a point in time that we've said it's a dover hamyuchad, dover shelo nigmar malachto. It's dover shelo nigmar malachto lemaiser. The worker is entitled to eat from it. can he roast those grains and eat from them? What difference does it make? We mentioned it'll sweeten up. It'll sweeten them up, make them more palatable. And as a result, he'll end up eating more than had he not roasted them. Haim ze doime, is this similar to another case, la'anovim v'dovracher, for osur? If I think we've discussed this in the past, a worker is not entitled to eat the eat anovim, grapes, along with something else that's going to motivate him or entice him to eat more than had he eaten the grapes on their own, and that would be prohibited. Although, or maybe in the case of with regard to the roasting of grains, it's not similar to the case of anovim v'dovar acher, and we would not prohibit it. So now, with that in mind, we go back to the Gemara. The question is raised. Can a worker expose to the fire grains in order to sweeten them up, to make them more palatable, or not? Do we parallel hivuv melilos, those are the fresh grains, to anovim v'dovar acher, and would then prohibit the worker from doing it? Or not, or we don't compare it to the case of anovim v'dovar acher. Ta shma rashoi balabayas lahashkos pelim yayin. A homeowner is entitled to give his workers wine to drink. Kidei shelo yochlu anovim harbe, by the balabayas giving the workers wine to drink, that will reduce their appetite for the grapes, and so they won't come to eat a lot of grapes. Rashay polim l'tabel bitom b'tzir. Workers are entitled to dip their bread in tzir, in brine. Kidei sheyochlu anovim harbe, and that will increase their appetite for the consumption of a large amount of grapes. So from here, it would seem that hivuv of the melilos of the grains in fire would be allowed, just like tovel pitam betzir is allowed. The Gemara responds: you can't bring a proof from here because lachshuri gavra lo kamebaya lon ki kamebaya lon lachshuri pira mai. Okay, what does the expression lachshurei gavra mean? So we look at Rashi at the top line of Amud Beis. Lachshurei gavra lahochin atzmo lachilim ruba. As far as things you do to yourself to increase your appetite, lo mibaya lon. That isn't a question. Sharei lo osra lo av Torah. The Torah doesn't prohibit a person from increasing his appetite. V'hai lav kanovim davar acher domi. This case of doing things to increase your own appetite is not similar to the case of eating grapes along with something else. The hasam gabi anovim, with regard to the issue of the grapes and that something else, achshuri piro hu. That was a change or improvement in the item being eaten. Just to review, a person taking bread and dipping it into brine, which is something that will increase his appetite, is an illustration of something that the worker does to increase his own bodily appetite. While doing such, he's not doing anything to the product that he's working on. He's not working on the bread or the brine. However, in the case of the anovim v'dovar acher, the Torah gives a right to a worker to eat from grapes. Can he alter or improve the grapes themselves in order to increase his appetite? That we will say no. But to dip the bread into brine, that's certainly okay. So our focus right now is in doing something to the item that you're working on that will result in your increased appetite. So we continue with the question of Mai, what is the din of hivuv of the grains, the roasting of the grains? Ta shma. Now we have an inverted volcano shape. This will be in the direction of prohibiting the hivuv. Poalim oichlin anovim baroshe umanios shilahem. A worker is entitled to eat from the grapes at the roshe, at the ends of the rows. Now roshe umanios, Rashi points out, this is an area where the ends of the rows of vines are exposed more than the other vines to the sun, and as a result the fruits become sweeter, more desirable. So the source tells us that workers are entitled to eat from the grapes, but roshe umanios shelahem ubelvad shelo yahavavu b'ur. But what is restricted is to roast them in the fire. So here you have a fairly explicit exclusion from allowing that process. The Gemara responds, Hosam, the prohibition of Hivuv Ba'ur Mishum Bitul Malocha. It's a direct result of it causing him to be preoccupied with something other than the work he's hired for working on. Literally, bitul malach is canceling the work that he's supposed to be doing while fussing with roasting of the grapes. So that is clearly prohibited. Ki kami ba'olan, when we raise the question of hivuv ba'ur, hecha de'iko ishto avonov, that's a case where the worker's wife or children come on the scene, and they will do the roasting, not depriving the owner of work time on the part of the worker. The worker's wife or kids will take care of the roasting. Is that allowed? Mai toshma lo yahave b'ur v'yochal v'lo yachmur b'adomo v'yochal v'lo yafrich al gabi asela v'yochal avol mafrich al yad v'ochal v'ochel. Initially we see in the source lo yahave b'ur, do not roast in the fire. And a number of other procedures were mentioned that one should not do. But our focus right now is on lo yahavet bor. The other examples of lo yachmor ba'adoma, Rashi says, lo yachmor yechamom shematminom ba'ofer cham. Not to take the fruit that you're working on and dig it into the ground where it will heat up in warm dirt. Also not to split what you're eating on rocks. But you are allowed to mafrich al yad, that would be splitting them from one hand to the next. Al yad, Rashi says miyad liyad, and eat. So just to review, what's the main point here? It says lo yahafe b'ur. The Gemara responds, Hasam mishum bitol malacha. There, as we explained earlier, it's because he's going to be preoccupied with roasting them at the expense of his work time. Hacha nami, so too, in our case of the roasting of the grains, mistabra, it is, correct myself. Hachinam mistabra, and this answer, this explanation is also most likely. The e saka daitach mishum misuki pira, if you were to think that the prohibition is based on, in this source, is based on the sweetening of the fruit through the selamai mizuki purika. The example in the source of smashing the fruit on rocks. How does that improve the sweetness of the product? Therefore, the source's prohibition is not based on sweetening of the fruit item, but it's simply based on bitul malacha. The Gemara says that is not conclusive. The rejection of the source on the grounds of it illustrating bitul malacha and not misuki pira is not conclusive. Maybe the restriction is based on misuki pira. And if you'll ask, what about the stone example? E'efsher de'lo mamtik purta. It's impossible that the fruit after it's smashed on the stone doesn't increase in sweetness at least a little bit. So the source might very well be dealing with Misuki Pira, and the source then would be telling us that Misuki Pira would not be allowed through Hivuv Bu'ur. So number three is really inconclusive. Toshma. So we go on with source number four. Polim Shayu Odrin B'Te'enim, the workers that were hoeing the soil for the figs. Correction that we just made a little mistake there. Workers that were harvesting figs. The word odrin is the verb of harvest when it comes to figs. Each fruit has a different word describing its harvest. The godrim b'tamarim, that's harvesting of dates. Ubotsrim b'anova, harvesting of grapes. Umoiskim b'zesim, and the harvesting of olives. Hare elu oichlen utrin, workers who were doing these activities can eat, and they're exempt from the Meiser tithe. Shatorah zifsolahem, the Torah grants the workers the rights to these things. Bepitam lo yochlu elam keinot lu rishus mivalayas. As far as eating these things together with their bread, that they're not allowed to do unless they got permission from the boss. V'lo yispois bebelach v'yochal, and likewise not to dip into salt and eat. So now we emphasize here v'lo yispois bebelach v'yochal. Emphasize that with a dashed underline. It's mashma from here. This would imply that you can't do hivuv either. Just like dipping the various fruits or vegetables in salt improves their taste, and it's prohibited. So too, we would prohibit hivuv b'ur. The Gemara says, no, you can't prove that from v'lo yisvos b'melach. The example of melach, vadai ke'anovim v'dover achir domi. That certainly is similar to the case of eating the grapes along with something else. But as far as, let's say, altering the item itself without some kind of additional ingredient, like roasting the grains, so that remains a question. As we continue in the Gemara, we now focus on the last phrase of the source just quoted the line before, v'lo yisvois b'melach v'yochal, not to take the grapes and dip them in salt and eat them that way. V'raminu, we raise a contradiction from another Tanaic source. If you skip to the end of the Tanaic source, it says v'sofes b'melach v'yochal, which would seem to be a direct contradiction to the expression here that says v'lo yisvois. So now, what does the source say? Hasuchas apoyel la'ader l'kashkesh tachas azesim, one who hires a worker to till the soil and cover the roots under olive trees. Hare ze lo yochal. The worker is not to eat from the olives, as this is not a final stage of the of malocha, of work concerning that which is attached. Sochroi livsar, if you hired him to harvest grapes. Sochro limsok, hired him to harvest olives. Sochro lelaket, hired him to gather produce from, detach them and gather them in. Hare ze ochel upoter. In these cases, the worker is entitled to eat, and he is exempt. He is exempt from tithing. The Torah grants the worker this right. Kotsatz. Now, this word, kotsatz, becomes the focus of the Gemara discussion later on. the word itself is explained in the Rashi, just a couple lines down from where we are. Rashi says, Kotzatz v'hisna im balabayis, an arrangement and a stipulation was made with the owner. Almanas she'oichel havilei ke'ein mekach. If an arrangement was made that he will work on condition that he will be entitled to eat, then that becomes like a purchase. And when we speak about a purchase, we enter the realm of obligation to tithe. So though we said a moment before he is not obligated to tithe, in the following we will see, we'll say an alternative or alternatives to that. The Gemara continues, Kotsatz, Achas, Achas, Yochal, Shtayim, Shtayim, Lo Yochal. Before going further, it's important to define the kotsatz in light of what one would see in the Tosfos commentary, quoting Rashi that we read, namely an arrangement was made between the worker and the owner, almanas she'ochal, that we saw Rashi, on condition that he eats. In the source that we read, we saw that he was entitled to eat even without a formal stipulation. So Tosfos quotes the Rashi and points out that the kotsatz that you see in the source is a reflection back on the beginning of the source, where a worker was going to work under conditions that he otherwise would not be entitled to eat. Comes along the seifa, where a special arrangement is made between owner and worker, where even though by virtue of the Torah he's not entitled to eat, they made their own personal arrangement entitling him to, yes, eat from the produce. The produce that was referred to in the beginning of the source, where he was hired to till the soil and cover the roots around the olive trees. There's a second pirush that Tosfos offers, quoting the Rabbeinu Hananel, that says kotsatz, in fact, is going on the seifa, the source as it appears, where he was hired to work under circumstances that he's entitled to eat anyway, and the condition that they made was actually the opposite, where the worker made a condition that he would not eat as much as he wants, but rather a fixed amount of fruits, we'll say maybe a more limited amount, affixing a number to that which he would be entitled to eat. Why would a worker do that? So part of the arrangement is that he would possibly get more pay in cash as a result of his personal imposed limitation of fruit consumption. With that in mind, we saw in the source, we'll read again, the Seifa, Kotsatz, Achas, Achas, Yochal. He would then be entitled to eat one by one, one at a time, without having the obligation of tithing. However, Shtayim, Shtayim, Lo Yochal, to eat two at a time, then he would not be entitled to eat without tithing. The idea of behind this is what we mentioned before, that the fact that he made a formal arrangement, this kotsatz arrangement, makes it like a purchase. And a purchase establishes the need for tithing. And picking two at a time is like what you see in Tosfos, is like the goren. It's like establishing a granary. A granary is an expression indicating a final stage at which point you become obligated in tithing. Now, we go back to our source, and it says, V'soifes b'melach v'yochal. The thinking right now is that this is taught as a point regarding workers and their entitlement. So if you think thusly, you would come to the conclusion that we have a contradiction. The Gemara goes on and says, "Ahei, this last expression, the seifes v'mel v'yochal, what is it going on? What part of the source is it coming to, let's say, elucidate? Ilemo asefa, if you were to think it's going on the final part of the source, kevan de kotzatz, once the worker made a personal stipulation with the owner of how many fruits he's going to eat, if we adopt the explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel, so he has a fixed amount of fruits that he's going to be eating. Kol hechi deboi lechol, any way that he wants to eat it, let him eat it. Why would the source have to explain that which is otherwise obvious? Elo lav aresha. Rather, it's going on the earlier part of the source where there was no kotzatz, where it was simply a worker working on the fruits and having the entitlement to eat them. Therefore, we would have a stira. You have a worker going about his ordinary work with the entitlement to eat the fruits. Again, we're using the Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation that the Sofes V'melech V'yochal is a continuation of a worker hired to harvest the various kinds of fruits mentioned before, and the Torah allows you to eat it, and not only that, Sofes V'melech V'yochal, you can dip it in the salt and eat. Well, with that, we have a contradiction to what we said before, where it said, V'lo yispos V'melech V'yochal. Omar Abaye, Lo Kashya. There's no contradiction. Kan Boretz, Kan Bechutzo Loretz. It depends whether we're talking about a worker in the land of Israel or the worker outside the land of Israel. The din of Sfisa, of dipping in the salt, is in fact going on the Seifa. It's going on the case of Kotzatz. And the issue is an issue of tithing. And this point is, let's say, in contrast to what we thought originally. If you notice three lines above, in the at the very end of the source, where the phrase V'seifes V'melech V'yochal appeared, we thought that it had to do with laws concerning workers and what they're entitled to do. Dipping in the salt, it can cause them to eat more, and earlier we said they're not allowed to do that. All that revolved around the issue of workers and what they're entitled to do. With this explanation that Abaye is offering, it's then not like we thought before. We're not dealing with laws concerning workers. We're dealing with laws that concern tithing. Ba'aretz, we continue in the Gemara, kavos fisa. In Israel, where the laws of tithing are applicable, once you dip the fruit in salt, you take grapes, let us say, and dip them in salt and eat them that way, that establishes the requirement of tithing. Bechutz Laretz, outside the land of Israel, the laws of tithing are inapplicable, and Lo Kavos Visa, the dipping in the salt, doesn't establish an obligation to tithe. Omar Rava, Mi ik amidi, could there be anything, de ba'aretz kavos fisa midoraisa, that the dipping in the salt would establish the requirement of tithing on a Torah level? U'b'chutz la'aretz lo kavos fisa u'mutur l'chatchila, and outside the land of Israel you would have this extreme where the dipping of the salt would not establish the rabbinic need to tithe, and you'd be allowed to do that as a first choice? Generally speaking, when in the land of Israel something operates on a Torah level, outside the land of Israel, the laws of tithing have applicability. We didn't mention this before, in, we'll say, certain areas that are very near the land of Israel. So, we talk about Syria or other areas that there's an obligation to tithe on a rabbinic level, as is mentioned in other locations. This suggestion of Abaye would appear to be too extreme. The contrast would be seem too extreme, that one source is telling me that Sfisa creates an obligation to tithe on a Torah level, and the other source, the second source that says, V'soifa Yismael B'yocha, saying you can dip and eat without tithing as a first choice. Elo Omar Rava. Rava comes with his resolution. Bein Baretz, Bein Bechutz Laretz. Whether in the land of Israel or outside, Chada Lo Kava Sfisa. Dipping in salt of individual, singular, we'll call singular grapes, does not establish any need to tithe. Tarti Kava Sfisa. If you're harvesting two and dipping two in the salt, that does establish the need for tithing. Kotsats, if we have a, we'll say, the ksitsa arrangement that we described before, then bein sofas, bein lo sofas, then the issue of tithing is not dependent on dipping in the salt or not. Whether you dip in the salt or not, if there's a kotsats arrangement, achas achas ochel, the worker can eat one by one without tithing, shtayim, shtayim lo yochal, but two at a time, no, cannot eat without tithing. Lo kotsats, if the worker did not establish a fixed amount of eating of numbers of fruits that we saw before in the Rabbeinu Hananel, so lo kotsats, velo sofas, and there is no dipping either, so there's no kotsats and there's no dipping into the salt. Oichel shtayim shtayim. Then the worker would be allowed to eat two at a time without having to tithe. Sofas, if there is dipping, and we're coming on the heels of lo kotsats, but yes sofas, achas achas ochel, then one at a time he can eat without tithing. Shtayim shtayim lo yochal. But two at a time, he cannot dip in the salt and eat without tithing. V'afagav de notal reshus mi bala bayis de itbil lehu lemaiser v'kova svisa. Even if he got permission from the owner, he cannot eat two at a time with dipping because. The itbil is an expression like the word tevel. Tevel means it has reached the stage where you need to tithe, and it's in its untied stage. It's forbidden to eat because two at a time by dipping in the salt is kevea lemaiser. It becomes tevel legabi. Tevel becomes obligated in tithing at that point as a result of the dipping of two in the salt. The Gemara asks, "V'tarti dekova svisa min olon, two at a time by dipping in the salt establishes it as being obligated now in tithing. Where do we know that from? Omar Rav Matona, the Omar Kro, ki kavtsam ke omir gorna. The word kavtsam means gathering together. The concept of gathering becomes applicable when you're dealing with two or more. When you're dealing with one at a time, you don't use the term kovtsam. And in the pasuk, you also see the expression gorna, goren. We explained before that the word goren is associated with a point at which the item becomes obligated in being tithed. So when you're gathering, that's a reference to two at a time, then you reach the stage called goren, literally a granary, but it refers to the point at which the item becomes obligated in being tithed. So from here you see that two at a time, by dipping in salt, you cannot continue eating without, the worker can't continue eating without doing a prior tithing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.